Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast. Podgo provides podcasters with a flat rate for ad space, so they always know how much they get when they include an ad from Podgo. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. Don't forget to add our podcast in the How Did You Hear About Podgo section of the application.
Bus was crazy and escaped from the bus firm.
I can't periscope. What's a good movie?
Chicken or beans tonight?
It was a space movie and it had people in it.
No, you didn't. And
I did. No, I did. I told you they died in a tragic disco accident.
I'll be right back.
Welcome to Vulture Dropping.
Not sure what to talk about this week. I don't have a lot to talk about. My co-hosts are still on quote-unquote vacation. My wife's working right now, and my son's off being a teenager. So I guess it's just you and me. Or, depending on the amount of listeners I don't have, just me. I talked about Krampus last week and a little bit about myth and how what kind of role it plays in society as far as raising children and all that fun stuff. I want to get a little less serious this time and talk about bad movies. What makes a bad horror movie? If anybody's listening out there, give me a message. The link's in the description of the podcast. Tell me what you think makes a bad horror movie. And do you think that bad horror movies are inherently good just because they're so bad? You know, we have Roger Corman right now the only one that comes to mind. But then you have other movies that make fun of itself or make fun of the genre and end up being cult classics, like Evil Dead. Evil Dead 2. Is there really a difference between the two? That being said, I am going to be talking about Suspiria. Not exactly widely panned, but what many would consider an artsy film. So I'm going to use that as an example, among other things, but I'm going to also focus on my analysis on that movie as well. Stay tuned.
The bus was crazy and it escaped from the bus firm.
I can't periscope. What's a good movie?
Chicken or beans tonight?
It was a space movie and it had people in it.
No, you didn't. And
I did. No, I did. I told you they died in a tragic disco accident.
I'll be right back.
Welcome to Vulture Dropping.
Suspiria, released in 2018, stars Tilda Swinton, Dakota Johnson, Chloe Grace Moretz. It's directed by Luca Guadagnino, written by Dario Argento, Daria Nicolodi, and screenplay by David Kajenik. One thing I loved early on in this was the use of exaggerated sound, silence, to focus on the action. For instance, when Susie was doing her audition, they didn't have any music playing over it. They focused on the natural sounds of her inhaling and exhaling and groaning as she danced. And also, the same use was made in the quote-unquote beating of Olga while Susie was doing her rendition of the Volga, I believe, a signature dance of the company. Aside from the fact that the beating of Olga was one of the most grotesque displays of breaking and contortion of the human body that I've ever seen. I don't know why I like these movies, but there was many people who did not like this movie, and I don't see it. I like odd artistic movies. For instance, I will sit down and watch a Van Zandt movie anytime because I enjoy that. Many people call it boring or realism.
Now, if I were full of myself, and many people would disagree with me here, but which I am not, I would say, well, you just don't get it. It's it's above your head, or it's, you know, whatever. But I guess a nicer way to put that is you don't get it. And all too often people they say they don't like a movie because it sucked or what they don't get it, so they automatically say it sucks. They don't like it because they don't get it. They don't want to admit it, but they want things spoon-fed to them. And these movies that I mentioned, such as Suspiria and Van Zandt movies, which you might question my taste in movies now, but oh well, is that they don't spoon-feed things to you. They have in-depth themes, and oftentimes more than one theme, but they're always expressed not necessarily in narrative. It's usually all just in the drawn out action of it, like Suspiria, or by other means of senses. They will tell you things through noise, like the over exaggeration of noise when she was doing her dance, or the other dancer was being broken. They tell a story in a different way, and if it's not in front of their eyes, a lot of people aren't going to get it. Also, anytime that I include any of these movies on the show, and you don't think that they're horror movies, aside from the fact that they're bad, we'll get into that in a little bit, but leave me a message. The link for a message on Anchor is on Vulture Droppings homepage. So feel free to give suggestions, you know, alternate opinions, what have you. But Suspiria, I think, is a horror movie because you know, it yes, it deals in the supernatural and a girl out of her element in a new world, making it or breaking it in the dance world in Germany, American in Germany. She's risking a lot. And on top of that, she's faced with these supernatural happenings and murders and mysterious rumors of witchcraft in the school. And it's horror to me because she has this choice to make, and you don't know throughout the whole movie what choice she's going to make, and you don't know what nefarious evil force is going to be after her or going to actually get her. You know all this stuff is going on in the background. You have these nice matronly teachers or instructors, and then during the day and then at night you see them, you know, cavorting and dancing and putting police officers in trances and making fun of them while they're naked, which, you know, was kind of, to me, was one of the most disturbing scenes in the movie. But I think that's what makes it horrific, is you don't know what's going to happen, and what happens is unexpected or sudden or related to something that happened. It's a callback or related to something in her past or in the past of the movie. So I think that's what makes Suspiria a horror movie. Now, this only got a 65% on Rotten Tomatoes, and IMDb people rate it at a 6.8, which it's not terrible. I'm not saying it's the best horror movie out there. So it wasn't necessarily widely panned. I guess the reviews that I read of it, people didn't like it because it dragged on, it was slow, the storyline was all over the place, none of which I really agree with. I'll give them this, it does drag on a bit, but it's all due to the story. You can't just jump into it and say this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. You have to leave people hanging. This happened, and then you go back to, you know, alternate theme, and then you're left hanging until they talk about the other theme later. So yeah, people just need to be more patient. As far as horror movies go, I don't necessarily give it, you know, my highest rating. I mean, I guess I would give it, you know, right around what Rotten Tomatoes gave it or IMDb gave it, 65%, 6.8. But it's up there. I thought it was creepy, freaky. I definitely was able to watch the remake more than I was able to watch the older movie. Yeah, the 1977, I believe it was, release of that was, to me, I guess it was just because I'm used to newer movies. I'm used to eye candy. I'm used to being spoon-fed stuff. I didn't like the 70s style of
the 70s take on that. To me, that one dragged, but it wasn't. There wasn't really a lot of difference in the storyline.
Movies that are just plain bad, and there are movies that are bad on purpose. And I think those are the movies. No, let's back up. They're not necessarily bad on purpose, but there's bad on purpose, and then in retrospect, people say, yeah, that was pretty bad. But look at it. It was pretty good at being bad. You know, it makes fun of itself. One example that I like to note is Maximum Overdrive, written and directed by the incomparable Stephen King. He made no apologies for it. Although his son Joe would like to remake that because he thought it didn't get its just desserts, or didn't get its proper credit. Stephen King made no apologies for it. You can see that he was not taking that seriously. He wanted it to be scary, suspenseful, but you can tell the actors weren't, he wasn't having the actors be too serious about it. It wasn't to the point of many of the meta movies today that make fun of certain tropes, like Don't Go Upstairs or the It Girl or the Final Girl, but it was tongue in cheek in the very least. When you acknowledge that it's bad, you take some of that pressure off. You say, I don't care what you think about it. I made it. It's funny. It's scary. Just enjoy it. And once you remove that pressure, I think you're able to enjoy movies a lot more. I said earlier that I didn't like the 1977 version of Suspiria because it was old. There are many movies out there that are older, and I like that they're older because I like the practical effects. You know, I like they don't, CGI is not a thing yet, so they can't depend on it. They have to invent things to make themselves, to make the movie better, and to actually get that gore factor. One of my favorites, he wasn't till later, but Tom Savini. He did work on a lot of horror movies. Friday the 13th, in the Friday the 13th franchise, for example. He does a lot of practical stuff that, you know, you can tell. Sometimes it looks real, but other times you can tell it's fake. But I think if you know it's bad going into it, you can at the very least sit down and joke about it with people with whom you're watching it. You know that you already know it's bad, so you might as well enjoy it. Suspiria wasn't like that. Suspiria was serious. It took itself seriously. It had, you know, feminist themes in it, and the supernatural in it, and there were some bona fide scary moments in it. And I think people just didn't like it because that it was too artsy. But I think that's all I have to say about it. I wish I had more. We're going to get the others back pretty soon here. But until next time, see you later. next on Vulture Droppings.
Greetings. Thank you. Vulture Droppings is on an indefinite hiatus.
Thank you for listening to Vulture Droppings. For more information and how to support Vulture Droppings monetarily, visit anchor.fm/vulturewriter. You can also provide support and get cool stuff on Patreon. Go to patreon.com/vulturewriter73. Where else can you find Vulture Writer? He's on Medium. Visit his profile at olofvulture.medium.com/. Where he has regular articles and two publications, Atheist AF, about religion and atheism, and Vulture Droppings, about horror. He also publishes horror fiction on Vocal. Visit vocal.media/author/vulturewriter. On social media, he is at VultureWriter on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Thank you again for listening.